ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 13, text 18. And we're, as usual, there's someone banging. It's not a Mayapur Bhagavatam class unless someone is banging. Nah, don't worry. And some kid with a whistle. Somebody has to get a kid out with one of those whistles. Drumasu Ramsyan Suta Dara Vatsalo Yavaya Dino Vivasha Sva Bandane Pachit Pramarad Giri Kandare Patan Balim Grihitva Gaja Vita Astita Shumeshuram San Sutadara Vatsalo Vyavaya Dino Vivashansa Bandane Kachit Pramada Girikandare Patam Balim Grihitva Gajavita Ashtita Jumeshuram San Sutadara Vatsalo Yavaya Dino Vivashasva Bandhane Pachit Pramada Girikandare Patam Balim Grihitva Gajabita Ashtita Rumeshuram San Sutadara Vatsalo Yavaya Dino Vivashasva Bandhane Kuchit Pramada Girikandare Patam Balim Grihitva Gajabita Ashtita Shuram Shan Chitadara Vatsalo Shuram Sam Sutadara Vatsalo
Yavaya Dino Vivashasva Bandhane Kuchit Pramada Girikandare Patam
Kuchit Pramada Girikandare Patam
Balim Vihitva Gajabhita Astita
Balim Vihitva Gajabhita
Astita Vaishnavis
Thank you.
Grumeshu.
In the trees.
Or in houses standing like trees.
In which monkeys jump from one branch to another.
Ramsyan. Enjoying.
Sutadara
Vatsala.
Being attached to the children and wife.
Yavayadina.
Which is poor, who is poor hearted
because of acting on the platform
of sex desire.
Vyavasa,
unable to give up.
Svabandhane,
in the bondage of the reaction
of one's own activities.
Vachit,
sometimes.
Pramadat,
from fear of imminent death.
Girigandare,
in the cave in a mountain.
Patan,
falling down.
Balim,
the branches of creeper.
Grihitva,
capturing.
Gajabita,
being afraid of the elephant of death.
Ashtita,
remains in that position.
And the translation.
When a living entity becomes exactly like a monkey jumping from one branch to another.
Hey, what is this?
East meets west. Hold on a second.
When the living entity becomes exactly like a monkey jumping from one branch to another, he remains in the tree of household life without any profit but sex. Thus he is kicked by his wife just like the he-ass. Unable to gain release, he remains helpless in that position. Sometimes he falls victim to an incurable disease, which is like falling into a mountain cave. He becomes afraid of death, which is like the elephant in the back of that cave. And he remains stranded, grasping at the twigs and branches of a creeper.
Purport.
The precarious condition of a household life is described herein. A householder's life is full of misery, and the only attraction is sex with the wife, who kicks him during sexual intercourse, just as the she-ass does her mate. Due to the continuous sex life, he falls victim of many incurable diseases. At that time, being afraid of death, which is just like an elephant, he remains hanging from the twigs and branches of the tree, just like a monkey.
Well, here I sit before you, you know, as a newly minted sannyasi. I swear to you, I did not pick this verse. It's just the luck of the draw, you know. I think what we're going to do is we're going to try to talk about themes. Otherwise, if I beat up on the householders for the whole class, there go the lunch invitations. So, not just joking. But we will stick to themes. I wanted to say, because, you know, certain expectations are there, so I'll say, by the grace of the saintly Vaishnavas, all of you, I will try to say a little something about Prabhupada, some Prabhupada pastimes. So they're talking about the monkeys here. And I was sitting in a room one time in Detroit. And a man was going on and on about evolution. Prabhupada cut him off. Prabhupada said, "What evolution? You're still monkeys." Acting like monkeys. So it's described here. And then the man tried to recoup, and Prabhupada said, your ancestors may be monkeys. He said, but my ancestors are the great Vedic sages of India. Prabhupada later on told me, this guy really got a full dose. Later on, Prabhupada said, the missing link is my foot in your face. So, which reminded me of another time. We're going to get to a theme, don't we? Which reminded me of another time. Prabhupada was in Los Angeles and on the radio station, the radio show. We were all, you know, brahmacharis. We were sitting back in the temple listening to the Prabhupada on this radio show. And Prabhupada just knocked this man from pillar to post. That's where he said, you know, why is the death rate so high in India? Prabhupada said, death rate's the same everywhere, 100%. You know, the guy said, you know, why do you shave your head? A lady reporter was with him. Why do you shave your head? Prabhupada said, why do you shave your legs? Prabhupada said, you need a cool brain and warm legs for understanding spiritual life. I mean, it was just fantastic. And finally, the man was so frustrated, he said to Prabhupada, he said, what would happen if everyone took to Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, don't worry. There'll always be fools like you who won't. You know, we couldn't believe it, you know. And Prabhupada, when he got back, knowing us oh so well, Prabhupada, when he got back, it was late, it was about 11 o'clock at night. Prabhupada, when he got back, he said, I can say this, but you cannot. Prabhupada said, this is the special dispensation for old men and little children. They can go anywhere and they can say anything, you know. But my observation was this. Because Prabhupada was guileless, because he had no motivation other than to help them, because his, whatever, he was like a doctor. You know, a doctor has to cut. Sadhu has to cut. But behind that was such burning compassion and love. Hari Sarita told me one time, I think it was Hari, maybe Shri Tikirti, that he said to Prabhupada, you know, just in Prabhupada's, he was such a gentleman in the way he, everyone, anyway, Hari Sarita said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, everyone likes you. Prabhupada's response was, that's because I like everyone. And people could sense that from Srila Prabhupada, so he could really let them have it, you know. We do it, and I get my teeth knocked out, but that's another thing. The basic principle, I think it was Devamrita Maharaj was talking about myths. People function in this world with complete misunderstandings. They used to sail thousands of miles thinking the world was flat. Complete misconception. One of my favorites is the Tahitians. They thought, I think enhanced with a little coconut wine along with it, but in their inebriated state, they used to think that when they rowed their little canoes, they pulled the world past them, that they were stationary and they were pulling the world past them. What kind of nonsense is that? Hang on, my friends. They were able to go all the way from South, you know, the Polynesian, whatever, South Sea, South Pacific, in a little, you know, whatever you call those things. What are they called? Not kayaks. Huh? No, they had the kayak. Well, they had with the platoons. Outriggers, yeah. They were able to travel thousands of miles. 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 miles, guided only by the stars, and make it back. So they were able to function quite on a quite high level with a completely wrong conception. So we are haunted by a number of misconceptions, and I thought I would talk about a few of those misconceptions. One of those misconceptions as being described here, the basic principle Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita about lust. What does he compare lust to? But it burns like fire, and what is the next thing Krishna says?
Never satisfied.
It's never satisfied. Think about it. It's such a simple example. Do you ever throw more fuel on the fire? The fire burps, thank you very much, and goes out. It's fully satisfied. What happens? The more fuel you throw on the fire, what happens? Bigger it gets. So this concept that bigger, more, the more I consume, the more I grab, you know, I'm going to become satisfied. It's a completely misconception. And yet we're functioning on it. The whole world functions on it. That I can become satisfied. Prabhupada gives the example of Akbar asked Birbal, his advisor. Prabhupada tells a story. Akbar said, when will I become free from this sex desire? When does it go away? Birbal said, even up to the time of death. Akbar said, no, it can't be. Sent him away, dissatisfied. Some time passed. Birbal came, said to Akbar, come with me, Maharaj, come with me now. The king had enough confidence that he went with him. He said, but bring your daughter. So Akbar brought his beautiful young daughter. They went to a house, there was a man dying. Here's Birbal, saintly person, king, you know, Maharshi. What was the old fool doing? Spending his whole time looking at the young girl. So even on deathbed, the time of death, one doesn't give it up. We had a devotee. His mother came, was shocked to see how he was living. You know, as an austere brahmachari. They'd spent everything they possibly could to make the man happy. And he was living as a brahmachari.
And she asked him, are you going to get married? This saffron cloth, what does it mean? He began describing. She said, no, if you don't get married, a wife takes all the bumps out of the road of life. We actually had a guy, it's off the track, we had a guy that we shaved up one time, and he had all these scars on his head. I said, what happened? You're playing rugby without a helmet? What happened to you? He said, well, this is my first wife hit me with a hammer. No, it goes on. He said, this is where my second wife, you know, hit me with a saw. And then he said, this is where my third wife slammed my car head in the door, my head in the car door. I mean, I don't even know how you do that, you know. So his whole marital history was written on his head, you know. But the point is that there's a nice example in the Bhagavatam. It gives the example of the different bracelets. What is it? The young girl's cooking and the suitor's out in the front room. And she's cooking and the bangles are making all kinds of noise. So she takes off one bangle, another bangle, still making noise. So even she's got two bangles, they're still bumping each other and make noise. Think about it. Anyone in this room ever disturbed by their mind? It doesn't ever happen. I mean, I can speak from my own experience. I got to deal with it all the time. So think about it. All the harassment we get from our mind, hankering and lamenting. I mean, we could spend hours just on that principle. Now, what happens if you add another mind? What happens if you add a couple kids? All of a sudden, you think you have trouble with one mind? Have five minds. See how it works. If you remind me afterwards, after class, if we have a little time, there's a householder joke. It works both ways. The men can tell it about the women can tell it, so you can remind me later on about dealing with the mind. And so it's just this idea that if you compound the problem, if you put more fuel on the fire, if you increase the number of minds, how will I become happy? Where is the logic? Show me the seamless logic in such a conception. So I was thinking the Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj told me a nice example. A man is walking, because here we're talking about, well, you'll understand. And he falls into a blind well. And he's falling in the well, and he's something to break his fall. He grabs onto something. And his fall is broken. And you know, in a dark place, after some time, your eyes adjust. And he saw, I'm in this well, and below me is a big cobra. At the bottom, saying, come on down. You know, come on down, little snack item, I can hardly wait. So he thinks, well, let me go up. And he looks up and there's a tiger leaning over saying, come on up, come on up. And then he sees that he's holding on, what he's holding on to, two roots that have grown through the side of the well. One has a black rat, the other has a white rat, and they're gnawing through. They're almost, so what is his position? We can understand how precarious. He can't go up, he can't go down, and he can't stay where he is. But then he feels a... something's tripping on him. And he looks up, and hanging over the mouth of a well is a tree. And in the tree is a branch, and in the branch there's a little beehive. And a little bit of honey is dripping. And so, he catches that honey. And what does he think? Hey, not so bad. So the example is, below the cobra is the life force, prana. Giriraj Maharaj told me, and when you, don't worry, it'll happen to you. Like the two cow patties, the one lapping at the other. One's thrown in the fire, the other one's saying, ha, ha, ha. And the one in the fire saying, you're next. So I'm 61 years old. And I was, Giriraj Maharaj was saying that he feels like a tube of toothpaste, that all the toothpaste has been squeezed out. You know, all the prana, you know, has been squeezed out. So below us, you know, their cobra is there, waiting. And above the tiger, we know that Durga's riding on that tiger. And there's Adi Atmic, Adi Bhotik, Adi Devik. Misery is caused by the living entities. Misery is caused by the mind and the body. Misery is caused by the material nature. One of them is always getting us. And what are the, you know, the black and white rat? Daytime, nighttime. With every rising and setting of the sun, the day passes and is lost. So holding on. So what is our position? Our position is like that. It just requires a little clear intelligence. I guess I'll say this because I'm thinking of the time. You know, people read the instructions. You know, you read the, what is that saying? When all else fails, read the instructions. It's right there with make sure it's plugged in, you know, when you're trying to get something. So, this world, ahamsa vashaprabhaho matasavam bhavartate, everything's emanating from Krishna, janmadasi yataha. He's the creator, he's the maintainer, he's the sustainer. What does Krishna say about this material world? Why don't we hear from the person who made it? Wouldn't that be a logical place to start?
just like you open the instructions and they tell you how to put tab A to tab B, you know. Krishna certifies this world. It is temporary and it is full of misery. But what they have done, people in Kali Yuga are hopeless, with good reason. I saw a bumper sticker. It said, if you're not paranoid, you haven't been paying attention. This is a rough place. This is a difficult place. When I first met the devotees, I was living in Southern California. I was a golden boy kissed by the gods. Everything was just right on course. All I had to do was stay on the conveyor belt, and everything was just going to work out great. Until I met the devotees. And the devotee, you think I'm proud now? You should have seen me then. So, sensing my arrogance. Sukadev. Anyone here know Prabhupada? I can never repay them. Sukadev. Huh? Okay. So, I'm sorry. It's one of those. Get a mic, but that's another thing. Sukadev Prabhu said to me, sensing my arrogance, he said, you know, one thing about this world. I said, what? Because I was thinking the devotees are sour grapes. You're not enjoying, but hey. You know, one who says money can't buy happiness doesn't know where to shop. So I said, hey, you're a loser, but I got it all figured out. So sensing that, Sukadeva Prabhu said to me, he said, you know, there's one thing about this world. I said, what's that? He said, nobody gets out alive. And I tell you, that simple statement rattled around in my head for months. And every time I just get cruising and get into a good groove, I'd remember that. Nobody gets out here alive. What is the use? What is the purpose of the whole thing? So this sense of a future, just because I'm supposed to tell some Prabhupada stories, but I guess I'll say it this way. Prabhupada gives the example that if you're a farmer's cart is going down the road, and a bag of rice falls off the back and splits open. So if the bird comes, the bird will take a few grains of rice and go. Squirrel, mouse, they'll come and take a few grains and go. If a man is walking down the road, he'll think, hey, Krishna's mercy, and he'll fill up one pocket. Think, well, you know, what about tomorrow? He'll fill up the other pocket. See, when I get home, my wife will say, you idiot, why didn't you take the whole bag? So he'll take the whole bag, you know? Because he's thinking of the... Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava. He's thinking of the future. So this man was saying, the Prabhupada says that this world, have you ever seen children playing on the beach? They make those little sand castles. I did it when I was a kid. My sister and I, my brother, we wear little seaweed crowns and we were kings. And we get completely absorbed in our pastime as children. That this is a king, we'd make two forts and we'd fight with each other. We have a whole world growing. And my father would dig a hole and we'd make a bigger fort. So many things. But what inevitably happens? The tide comes in and everything is washed away. I remember crying, oh, you know, what can you do? The tide comes in, it's washed away. So this one man was saying to Prabhupada about my father did this and my father did... And no doubt, mother and father, you can never repay. Chanaka Pandit says you can never repay the teacher who teaches you even one letter. You can never repay. A mother's Adi Guru, you know, we're indebted. But still, to make this point, this man was going on about his father. Oh, my father this, my father that, my father built up this house, and my father built up the business, my father. And the man was completely absorbed in that. And finally, Prabhupada said, do you know where your father is now? The man stopped. Prabhupada said, he may be a cockroach in the commode. You can listen to the tape. There's a long pause. I mean, that is so heavy. But where will we be in our next life? Who knows? We're so proud of this or that. So, what is it? Ante Narayana Smriti. This is the test. I was in a room. And Prabhupada was saying, this man was, you know, it's an audience like this. And one man in front was fidgeting. He obviously, his wife had dragged him. He didn't really want to be there. And Prabhupada asked him, you know, what is the issue? The man said, oh, I have an appointment. I have a very important appointment. I don't want to miss it. Prabhupada, you have only one appointment in life, and you will not miss it. Anyone know what that? You can't say to Yamaraj, you can't whip out your day timer and say, no, Thursday the 17th doesn't work for me. How about never? Does never work for you? No. You know, you can't stop it even for a moment. So I wanted to, this was the heart of the thing,
that I wanted to get two myths that we labor under, that cause, certainly I labor under. And one is this sense of entitlement. And by that I mean that the default mode of this world should be enjoyment. That actually I should be happy, and my senses should be satisfied, and I should be enjoying. And that should be the general state of life. And if not, where is Krishna, where is God, or where is this, or where is... But why? Where in the owner's manual does it say that our default mode should be happiness? And I'll give you an example, just to think about it. We're not talking magical thinking, Krishna's blue, playing a flute. We haven't gone there yet. Because we have to have this shraddha, and we have to have a firm understanding of what is this world first. It has to be sambandha. So, anyone here wake up this morning, and if you did, don't admit it. Anyone wake up this morning and think, little toe, please titillate me today. Think about it. How much pleasure, maybe you get a mosquito bite, you can scratch it, oh, there's a little something. But how much do you actually get from your little toe? Okay? Picture a pan balance. You know pan balance? Picture the pleasure from the little toe. It's minuscule, if anything. The other day, I was in a hurry, in my general sense. I went around the corner in the San Diego temple, but there was a little wall was there. And I caught my little toe. Snap! Yeah! It went almost perpendicular. I kind of bend it back. That thing, that toe, I was in excruciating pain, and it hurt me for weeks. So weigh on a pan balance. And if we analyze, you know, what is the potential for pleasure, and what is the potential for pain? Therefore, one should think for, they call it, I was saying the other day, form from function. That, you know those archaeologists, this is off the track, but it's kind of blissful. Sadapuja told me, that whenever Prabhupada would be introduced to a big, you know, biologist, big, you know, biology, first thing Prabhupada would do is shake his head and say, poor frogs. You know, because they're up to, you know, die. And they would always say, oh, I don't, you know. But Prabhupada would immediately put them in their position, you know. So, what was I going to say? No, I was thinking about the little toe. Ah, so the archaeologists, they're always out thinking. Just making sure you're listening. The archaeologists are out there digging around. They get those little pot shards. You'll always find little pieces of pot, you know, whatever. And they put all, you see, they put them all together. And from the shape, they can figure out the function. They'll say, oh, this must have been they were using this for holding grains, which meant they were agrarian culture. And, oh, this one has a spout. Maybe they were, you know, it's some kind of funerary vessel. And they, you know, they had a sense of an afterlife. So they, from the function, from the pieces, they put together the form. And the form, they figure the function. You with me? Okay. So, analyze this body. Look at the form. I don't have my glasses, so I can't read it. Sorry. But there it is. So, and it doesn't say in because I can read my clock, but it's close. If we look at this body, what is it designed for? Take the propensities of enjoyment of a body, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We all know the analysis. How much can we eat? You know, the cow, the elephant, so much. We eat two or three, you eat an extra chapati, and we're sick. So it's not designed for eating. One of the main causes of disease is overeating. So it's not eating, it's not sleeping, although we have some brahmacharis that are working on it. But the, you know, a bear hibernates for, you know, months at a time. I think fish, turtle, there's a type of moth that it doesn't even have a mouth. It a June bug, it lives for like 9-10 months in the ground and comes out for a few days just to reproduce. So there's that. There's eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Hey, you know, I know karate. I got a black belt. Hi-ya! Put me in a cage with a Bengal tiger. Who are you going to bet on? You know? So anyway, mating, what can we do? You know, pigeons, rabbits, they're all ahead of us. But we have this sense of the future. We have a sense of time. We have a sense of, what is the purpose of life? Is this all there is? So if we study it, this human form of life is meant for self-realization. So this idea that, which leads into the other point I want to make. Prabhupada was here in Mayapur. He's on a morning walk.
And, you know, in those early days in Mayapur, I mean, now you get four types of pizza, and there's, you know, whatever, you know. Aniyor, which is a great name for this restaurant, you know, whatever it is, there's so many things. When I first came to Mayapur, breakfast prasadam, or maybe it was lunch, you couldn't really tell the difference, they would just dump on your a leaf plate. It was a pile of rice, but it was quite mystical, because on the top it was completely raw, in the middle it had cooked into just a starchy mass, and in the bottom it was burnt. Now, I don't even know how they did it. I mean, you know, I couldn't. So you got that. You got dal with no vegetables, completely watery, hot dal with no vegetables, and you got maybe for a sweet you got some gore, which they, you know, a big piece they'd shoot the flies off, and you could see them doing it. So everybody got sick. We were completely, and you know, everyone was just like, you know, all everywhere. There were like cords of wood. Devotees were stacked all over the place, you know. So Prabhupada's out out here walking in the fields with the devotees early in the morning. And Prabhupada, you can hear the tape. Prabhupada says, devotees don't suffer. And there's this long pause. And Panchadevita Maharaj, he says, after some time he says, and he had that unique voice, you can hear him, he says, ah, Prabhupada, then what exactly are the devotees doing? Looks like they're suffering, you know. And Prabhupada, you know, could pick up on it and immediately Prabhupada laughed. He said, that's all right. He said, but after, you know, dharmasya hiya pavargasya, that, you know, the pavarga, how one is, but actual dharma, dharmasya hiya pavargasya, is meant to put an end to this course of suffering. So, we have to suffer. This world, that's the nature of the place. You wash coal, it's always going to be black. The bee works very hard. You know, the bee to make the honey? But he doesn't get to enjoy. Busy like a bee, working like a bee, making a bee line. But the bee doesn't get to enjoy the honey. What happens? He gets smoked out of the hive, and the hive keeper takes the honey. Similarly, what happens? We work hard to stack up all kinds of stuff, but time comes and takes it all away. We have to leave. So the point is that... Oh, that was another thing I wanted to say. You Vedic sadhus, you're so primitive. You know, you have these castor lamps. I heard this is an example Prabhupada gave. You know a castor oil lamp? Ah, the light is not so first class. I just flick the switch, and I've got a 100-watt Edison-designed light bulb. Ha! You primitive village. But we have to think, like the tip of the iceberg, what is behind that light bulb? Prabhupada says the villager... He goes and bathes in the river of the Kund every day. He takes his loda with him. And as he walks past, he throws a little water on the castor bush. You know, how much time did that take? And he has some kids that, you know, they always like some little project. You have the kids once a year pick the castor beans. They put them in a press. You can have the kids do it. You don't even have to do it. Didn't cost you a thing. It took you one flick of the wrist, and okay, you get a light, no problem. No load sharing, you know, it never goes out on you, you know. But think about it. What's behind that light bulb in the West? Huge dams, hydroelectric plants, gas and electric. It's called it San Diego Gas and Electric. So the G&E, they call it San Diego Gouge and Extort. People have to figure, old timers have to figure out, they're breaking their medicine in half in America because, you know, they're so poor that they can't pay for their medicine. Or they can't pay for their electrical bill, one or the other. So where is the advancement in that? Where is the progress? It's come out, one of the dirty, as far as, you know, as unclean pollution. You know, electric cars? Hey, I'm green. I've got a Prius. Turns out, now they've studied it, all the pollution that goes into making the parts for the car. And then when the electric car is finished, all the parts that, you know, when you break the whole thing down, all the toxic metals that come out, electric cars are worse for the environment than a regular car. The point I'm trying to make is that this world, whatever you do, we're going to suffer. We're going to struggle. It takes some effort. Prabhupada said the measure of a man's strength, there's a man in Ripley's, believe it or not, people send me this stuff. It's unbelievable what I get in the mail. They know I have a proclivity for. There's a man who can pull a train with his teeth. You know, once he gets it going, I mean, imagine. I mean, that's strong. But you know what the Vedic measure of a person's strength is? You know what it is? How about you bench press or the ability to tolerate? Prabhupada said that is a measure of a person's strength. If we're going to struggle in this world, let's struggle for a purpose. Don't be like the bee who just works hard and everything is taken at the end. Everything will be taken by time. I was listening to a tape. Prabhupada says, swaha for Krishna, swaha for Maya. You know, you offer the grain, swaha. He said, we can give our life, we can give our intelligence, we can give our energy, swaha for Krishna. He said, it was right during the Bangladesh war, or Prabhupada said, or otherwise, swaha for Krishna. He was meeting with some businessmen. He said, war tax, swaha, nation's energy, swaha, youth of your nation, swaha, all into the fire of Maya. So we have a choice. That's the one thing we actually have. What is it? Kartahamiti manyate. That, you know, we think that we're the doer, but actually everything's done by the material nature. But we do have some free will. What are we going to use this life for? You're going to struggle. The illusion that you're going to get relief from the material nature is a dream only. You're not going to get your problem solved with a wife or a husband. I'm not against how. Get married, have kids, serve Krishna, be happy, no problem. 80% of the population is going to get married. We're not faulting that at all. But if you think that's going to solve your problems, if you think that, you know what, it's not going to solve your problem. Therefore, I'm going to struggle. Let me struggle for a purpose. Let me struggle for something noble. Let me swaha this life and my energy, my intelligence for Krishna. Because at the end of it, back home, back to Godhead, it's all over. There's a solution. That's intelligence. So we need to end. I wanted to just briefly, and then we will end. I was thinking about Bhishma Dev's advice. You know, Bhishma Dev is on the bed of arrows. And he's giving his advice to the Pandavas. And I just want to read some of these sutras. How do you conquer desire and avarice, which is, you know, desire and greed, which is, you know, pushing everyone. Not like burning the fire. By tolerance only. He says, not by trying, by tolerance only. Worldliness is avoided by the culture of the knowledge of impermanence. If you know that everything is impermanent, you can give it up. One avoids fearlessness, because this world, if you're not paranoid, you haven't been paying attention. This world is a dangerous place. People die for... Have you ever, when you get on the plane, next time you're on the plane in India, you're getting on the plane, they have those signs of all the things that not to put on a plane. You ever seen this along? You know, it usually says like a, you know, lighters, matches, you know. But in India it goes on. It says cricket bats, golf, you know, bat. It goes on. I was thinking, all these things I never thought could be used as weapons. And now that you think about it, they're all anything. You can kill somebody with a pen. You know, they do that in the CIA. You can kill somebody with just a regular ballpoint pen. Grab the jugular vein. Guy's dead in a second. That's a scary thought. But the point I'm trying to make is that where are we safe in this world? Where are we safe? So, Prabhupada said that an old man's weapon... Does anyone know what a young child, a child's weapon is? Chanaka Pandit? Innocence. They're a child, you know, they break something, they do, oh, it's a child, what can you do, you know, you can't really get angry at a little child, if you don't. Anyone know what a woman's weapon is? Yeah, which they use very effectively. And what is a man's, we could say old man, old woman, we could say Vaishnavi, Vaishnava. What is their weapon? Knowledge. Bhagavatam says that in walking, we're saying that a wife or a husband takes all the bumps out of the road of life, completely nonsense. The actual Bhagavatam says, if you're walking across a path barefoot, there's so many rocks and sticks, it's a given. But if you put on shoes, you can traverse the path with no problem. Shoes of knowledge, that's how we traverse the path of this world, Bhagavatam. So I wanted to give one example. And I'll mention him, I don't want to embarrass the man, but we have, instead of, Prabhupada gives the example in the morning. At the night time, you see all the bugs flying around the light. You know how they're flying? Sadaputta said that the sun, they orient themselves by up from the sun, so the reason they get stuck around the light is because they think they're going up. That's, anyway, I never knew that, Sadaputta told me. So they're flying around the light like this, you know? And in the morning, you sweep them all up and throw them in the dustbin. Should our life be like that?
I was talking at the ILS. If I have a bucket of water, suppose you have a bucket of water. Okay, little thought exercise. Put your hand in a bucket of water. You with me? Bucket of water, put your hand in. What happens to the water line? It goes up. What happens when you pull your hand out? It goes back to the exact same place. Should our existence, should we just take up space? And the time of death, a few people cry for us for a few weeks. Then the wife marries the, you know, divorce attorney, and the kids divide up the will, and they don't even remember who you are. We had one family, the father had a garden he loved. He was buried in the garden. When they sold the house, they forgot about him, and they dug it up and made a doghouse out of it. So where do you go? What happens to you? We should not live our lives like that. We have a chance to make a difference. To live love sought, love found, love lost, love found. I wanted to do something that mattered with my life. I was training to be a doctor. Then I realized, well, what can you do? You know, disease, death rate, 100%. You know, we cure one disease and three more come out. Bubonic plague is coming back at us, by the way. Typhoid is coming back at us. It's a thin blue line of antiseptics or antibiotics. And it's a long story, but trust me, they're losing control. Bubonic plague, the Black Death. They don't have it. You know, there's only one thing that works against it now. So what to do? Doctor didn't work. And how, you know, if you throw a rock into a pond, it creates concentric circles. And if you have the outer circle, all the smaller circles contained. So there's environmental problems. There's the war in Vietnam. Then there was the war in the Middle East. And there's the, you know, war is going on. How do you stop it? How with one life do you actually address all the problems? What can you actually do to help anyone? And then I met Krishna consciousness. I met Prabhupada. I met the devotees. I could actually do something with my life. I could actually make a difference. Then after some time, familiarity breeds contempt. I was a temple president for 19 years. If you wonder why I've got gray hair, everyone's got a name on it. I can tell you where I got them. So it becomes a little difficult sometimes, you know. I was, Vaikuntha, my old friend, who's also there in San Diego, he didn't do it. I was in the shower. Devotee got on a milk crate, on a box, called in the window, Badri, can I talk to you? I said, Prabhu, I'm in the shower. The devotee said, oh, I don't mind. You know, that I might have a little private time in my, you know. So it's difficult. My heart goes out to the temple presidents. GBC's tough, trust me. But the frontline temple presidents, it is not an easy task. And it's even more difficult to be the temple president's wife. I offer deep respect. No, seriously, it's not an easy thing. So they're heroes. So, you know, love lost. But here's an example. And then love found. Here's a simple example. The potency that's lying within this movement and within the association of Vaishnavas. What this world can do. You think, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. The example is, if you ever spend the night without a mosquito net, with one mosquito, you can make a big difference, you know? So, Burmese tourists, they're on a medical convention. I'm going to finish with this, tell a joke, we'll be done. They're on a medical convention. They're from Myanmar or Burma. In the airport, or Port Authority, I don't know where, they got a Bhagavad Gita in English. Ah, what am I going to do? Well, anyway, they took it. Flew from New York all the way back to Burma. They're Buddhist. They're not so interested. They have a friend who's Hindu, the doctor friend. They gave it to the doctor friend. Dr. Friend was an impersonalist. Shankaracharya, you know, Vedanta. What am I going to do with this book about bhakti? Put it on the shelf. His son was not interested in spiritual life, was going to the university, wanted to learn English. Saw a book in English, put it off the shelf. He literally, every fourth word he had to learn in the dictionary. And he was just doing it to learn English. As he went through Bhagavad Gita, he became completely convinced of Krishna consciousness. No association, just one book. Distributed in New York, now we're in Burma. As he was going through the book, a card fell out. You know, fill this card out, get a free book. It was a coming back, get a free book. It'll never make it out of Burma, because they were such a corrupt, bogus government. By the time it gets to, you know, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in LA, you know, Burma, they're not going to send me a free book.
And even if they send it, they'll get stolen in the post office as soon as it gets back. And so, but why not? Fill the thing out. You know, nothing lost. Send it off. 3 months later, he comes home from the university. Sitting in the living room of his house is Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, and his grandmother's making roti for him. What's this, you know? What had happened is that Bhakti Vikas, I forget his brahmachari name, was stationed in Thailand. And he was wanting to, you know, travel, how to get in these other countries, maybe go to Thailand, maybe go to Burma, maybe go here, maybe. But Burma you couldn't get into. You had to have a name and a reference, and they gave you a 24-hour visa. You literally could not stay more than 24 hours. They didn't want you to come in. It was like a giant work camp, horrible place. Because he wrote, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj wrote to the BBT, hey, you got any contacts, Laos, Cambodia, anything? He said, hey, we just got this card from Burma. They sent him the name. Because he had the name, he filled out the visa. Because he had a name, they let him in for 24 hours. He met Bhakti, he met Shivas Pandit. And within 24 hours, like Prabhupada in Moscow, he taught him everything, how to offer, how to cook, how to do. And then regularly devote Bhaktisiddhamana, or some, I'm sorry if I'm forgetting one, so many devotees would slip in. And from that one man, from one book, distributed at a distant place, the whole country just opened up. When he was translating Bhagavad Gita, first canto of Bhagavatam, they're now available in Burmese. People say, what are you going to do with this? Who's going to, you know, we're a horrible, oppressive country. You raise your head, they hammer you down. Aung San Suu Kyi's locked in jail. Forget it. Why are you wasting your time? That's all right. It's Prabhupada's book. I'll translate it. Bhagavad Gita got finished. Bhagavatam got finished. It's translated. What are we going to do with it? Someone came along, some Hindu businessman, gave the money. He printed them. As soon as the books are translated, the money came. He printed these books. What are they going to sit in the warehouse? What are you going to do with these books? Oppressive government. A few months later, whole government changed. Country opened up. From one book, one man, a whole country. And it's happening like that all over the world. So we should... Sure, it's a struggle. What isn't a struggle? Struggle will be there. Swaha for Krishna. Struggle for Krishna. And amazing, wonderful things will happen, and our lives will have meaning. So rather than jumping like a monkey from tree to tree, be like Hanuman. I promised I would tell one joke, and I swear that I'll end. The ladies, it's people expected of me. What can I do? So the ladies can tell this about the men can tell the ladies, so don't get mad at me. I'll universally offend both sides. A man is what, and the point is that, you know, if I get married, it's going to solve my problems, or if I have a material solution, it's going to solve my problems. Not so easy. Picture the bangles, and picture one mind, five minds, you know, how is it easy? That's the setup for the thing. So a man's walking down the beach, he stubs his toe, hey, what is this? He looks down, something shiny, he pulls it out, he polishes it off, a genie comes out, it's a magic lamp. He says, my wish is your command. So the guy says, fantastic. He says, you know, I live in California. My family's in Hawaii. I work in California. My family's in Hawaii. I got to fly back and forth. I have to spend so much money. It's so difficult. Can you build me a bridge from California to Hawaii? The genie says, come on, man. I'm a genie, but, you know, give me a break. Give me, you know how much cement that is? You know how much steel? I mean, ask for something easy. And you can't ask for, you know, more than one. You can't ask for unlimited wishes. You know, one wish, that's it. Kind of sort of a grouchy genie, you know. So the guy says, all right, fine, sorry, didn't mean to upset you. You know, my wife and I, we argue sometimes. Can you tell me how to keep my wife happy? The genie says, when do you want that bridge bike? Ha, 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 ha. And the purport is, but Krishna, if we look on the other side, Krishna says, patram pushpam palam toyam. You know, you offer me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, and Krishna's fully satisfied if offered with devotion. Krishna's easily satisfied. Prabhupada said, yeyatamam prapadyante. Prabhupada calls it the law of reciprocity. You take one step to Krishna, and Krishna takes 10 to you. So let's, and I'm speaking to myself 100%, if we use our energy, forgotten the name. You know, Naranjana Maharaj, I didn't get much sleep last night. Naranjana Maharaj
gave that wonderful class, and Bhakti Vikas Maharaj also. And they were explaining how Krishna's in the heart of his devotee, and the devotee's in the heart of Krishna, and how this is the Tesham Shati Yuktanam Bhajitam Pratipurvakam. So many Tesham of Ivanukam Partham. I mean, we're talking about the, you know, Savasha Chaham Ridhi Sanivista Matasmati Gyanam Aponam Cha. I'm going quick, but the point is that Krishna's in the heart. And if we just offer our heart, if we just offer our devotion, we make that little effort, Krishna is so easily pleased and reciprocates beyond our control. So, swaha for Krishna. Thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada. And now we get to go take prasadam. What's not to love about the Hare Krishna movement? There are so many, but it's time, Maharaj. I'm already over time. Thank you, though. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.